This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee, with locations on the West Side, Grant Park, the Pocket Bar in the Bank of America Plaza, and even the newest outpost in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com. I'm Floyd Hall, and this is the Wonder Root Arts in Atlanta Conversation, and this time we're focusing on PR. I'm joined by Glenn Murph, PR professional from Edelman, as well as Zopi Christensen, sales professional from Scout Mob. How are y'all doing?
Good. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks.
Zopi and Glenn, let everyone know exactly what you do for Scout Mob and Edelman, respectively.
I'm Zopi. I work for Scout Mob. I've been with them for a little over 3 years now, and I worked on the handpicked program. So we curate local events, often collaborating with artists and musicians and local talent. And then I also work on the ticketing platform, which we use to promote music events, art events, literary events, chef dinners, all the great stuff that Atlanta has to offer, and try to let people know about it and get them out of their houses and exploring their city. And I've also just been involved in the art and music scene for the past few years now, doing music and curating art shows here and there. So, yeah.
Hi, I am Glenn Murph, and I am with Edelman Public Relations. I'm a senior account executive over there, and I work primarily on the corporate team, so representing everything from very sexy packaging companies to lawyers, but also have the opportunity just through the agency to work with a lot of arts organizations. So worked on One Music Fest this year, which was a great experience. I work with the Museum of Contemporary Art, helping them promote their working artist project and just their annual gala, and also had the opportunity to work with the City of Atlanta's Office of Cultural Affairs on Elevate Week 2013. Just helping them develop a presence and understand that there is a growing cultural scene here in Atlanta, and we have the ability to send our artists out, but also, you know, attract talent from across the world. And on the side, represent artists, also just helping them develop their brands, get publicity, get promotions, and bring some type of structure to the creative process.
Well, all right. What makes PR or promotion in the arts world different compared to everything else?
Compared to everything else. So if I was to compare it to a corporate client that I work with versus, you know, promoting like an actual artist, there is no difference. Epiphany just hit me. There really isn't. The process that I go through. Yeah, thank you, Floyd. That was good. The process that I go through is no different. You know, I have to find the right audience that's going to be receptive to the story. You have to build the brand. I think the perception is that it's different, but there really is no difference. I'm just talking to a different audience. So for a packaging company, I'm going to go talk to like engineers and pulp and paper and whatever else that entails. But for an artist, I, you know, go to a creative loafing, if they're local, a creative loafing or an AJC, and I'd help them figure out, you know, what their style is, who's receptive to that style. It's still research, it's still brand building, it's still networking, and it's still developing a story that is going to resonate with the right audience. It's just a different audience.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to agree, because we do the same thing mm-hmm. with restaurants as we do for events. I mean, it really is about telling a compelling story and, you know, saying mm-hmm. what that thing is, what it is it's all about, why you should be into it. And mm-hmm. yeah, telling a good story. Everyone likes a good story.
Yeah. And it's hard to tell people what PR is. So I've gone back to just telling people I'm a storyteller. Because that's pretty much it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, just I'm a storyteller. Like, I talk all day long, and that's pretty much it.
Zopi, when you look at the growth that Scout Mob has had over the past few years, what's been driving that, you think?
Well, you know, I think with Scout Mob, as opposed to some of the other daily deal sites that we sometimes get lumped into, like Groupon Living Social, which, by the way, have grown way faster than we have. I mean, we've grown quite a bit, but, you know, we've always tried to do that in an organic way. We've never advertised, and we've tried to really stick to our guns. So, you know, it is a business. We're trying to make money, obviously. But we've also, you know, really tried to engage ourselves with the community and kind of keep it real, mm-hmm. for lack of better words. So, you know, like with what I do, like I'll put together the handpicked experiences. So we might have, you know, dinner at Sun in My Belly, which, of course, every person like in the city and even Marietta is going to purchase that. But then we'll also do, you know, artist-led classes at Mint Gallery. Mm-hmm. And so those didn't really sell very well, but, you know, they kind of keep our street cred level high. Mm-hmm. And our brand, the quality of our brand and sort of our messaging, which is, you know, support local businesses, support local independent makers. You know, it keeps it real. So, I think that's been one of the successes, the key to the success of the company. But it's a balance, you know, and, we have to like look at that all the time. It's like turning down things that might not be that great, but could potentially make us a lot of money, like Medieval Times, something like that. you know, actually creating like really, unique local experiences for people that sort of incorporate the talents of everyone, like the Halloween party, for example, which is probably one of the few things we do that makes a lot of money and also is like really cool and has a lot of like really cool artists involved. So
just talking about the notion of trying to support local businesses as well as art, mm-hmm. what's been the challenge to maybe shift perspectives or shift actions of the people to really focus on what's happening around them, that local aspect? What have you had to do to really work at that?
That's a good question. Let's see. What do you mean? Like how have we been able to engage people?
Engage
and,
people.
Like, keep them interested. You know,
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it is, again, back to the brand. It's like you have to have people trust you, right? Mm-hmm. As like an authoritative voice. And, I think, you know, with the way we like design the platform, making it very, you know, engaging people on social media and also just like the way that it looks, you know, it's not like, oh, what's this like company trying to like tell me about this artist? It's like we've tried to have sort of maintain this aesthetic, you know, and really like try, you know, we really do strive to find like the most quality, you know, makers out there, people that are really like the movers and shakers of the city, musicians, everyone, and present them in a way that's accessible for people, you know, so like just not like, you know, some like heady, like long-winded articles, but like just really quick, like, hey, this is what this person's about. And this is why you should dig them. So it's like, I think keeping it accessible, but also maintaining an aesthetic is really the key. You know, you want to reach a lot of people, but you don't want to like dumb it down too much and you don't want to like make it too wishy-washy. So I don't know. Those are kind of the things that we always have to balance out.
You talked about the local aspect. Mm-hmm. I think Glenn, you also, with the city of Atlanta, mm-hmm. And Elevate and other things that you've done, have had to do some similar building, mm-hmm. as it relates to focusing on local, mm-hmm. and getting people to really look around them. What's been some of your challenges as it relates to that?
I think some of the challenges is just the awareness. People aren't necessarily aware at how culturally diverse Atlanta is. And I think you look at the way the city is set up, we are very much a neighborhood city. Mm-hmm. So you are in the old Fourth Ward. Like, I live in the old Fourth Ward, and everything I do is probably in that Ralph McGill Boulevard, Edgewood area. Mm-hmm. And every now and then I'll venture out, but I'm forced to venture out because of what I do. I'll have to go to an art stroll in Castleberry Hills, or I'll have to go to an event for Mocha GA in Buckhead. But if you look at the way our city is, a lot of the younger kids are biking. So if you're not, you know, in a car, mm-hmm. and you don't want to take public transportation, you're very limited in what you see, in what you do. So, and that could be from a cultural perspective as well. Like, you may see something that's really cool in Buckhead, but, you know, you're not going to bike from the bottom of Castleberry Hills up to Buckhead to go to a museum opening or to, you know, to see a new exhibit. So I think raising people's awareness and getting them comfortable with stepping outside of their own boundaries, if it's neighborhood or just their own perspective, has been a challenge. But I think art is the one thing that's been able to do it. The art that Elevate brought to the city, be it from Paris, not Paris, excuse me, Toulouse, or be it from, you know, just another city. We had an amazing artist from San Francisco, California, I believe, and they did a photo booth that showed the cultural diversity of Atlanta. They set these photo booths up around the city, and they put these murals up, these wheat paste murals, just to show how culturally diverse and just diverse the city of Atlanta is in general. That speaks to a lot of it. It was enough of a push and enough of a drive and an interest from the community that it made them step outside of those bounds and come out and really see some really cool art.
Cool. Yeah, I think a lot of it is about sparking the curiosity, mm-hmm. too, and that's something that we try to do. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, step outside your comfort zone.
Right.
It's like, it's only like a neighborhood away, but I mean, I feel you, because I live in East Atlanta, mm-hmm. and like, I pretty much just go to those places. If it weren't for my company, like, I mean, I have to like force myself to get curious mm-hmm. and like explore the city, you know, but the way the city is laid out, it can be very alienating.
Right.
You know, there's not a lot of public spaces where people are walking around. And sort of interacting and like coming in contact with different people. Like when you go to New York or even San Francisco, mm-hmm. it's like you're always in front of other, you know, different, very diverse cultures. In Atlanta, like you said, it's not that apparent that
right.
we have like, you know, you could go to like Buford Highway and then come here, but it's like we're all living in the same city, you know. At the same time, though, I think what Atlanta does have is it almost is like a town in a lot of ways. So like where we are coming from different worlds, it is easy to build solidarity here. You can get people together, like they're willing to rally against, mm-hmm. You know, for things and be very supportive, you know.
Right.
But you have to, like you said, kind of raise people's awareness. Because I think people get down here, you know, they're like, oh, there's nothing going on, you know, like, and they're like, no.
There's nothing going on your block.
Yeah,
but if you, like, take the initiative exactly. to look, like, one block over, you can find, you know, tons of activities going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool what they have going on downtown right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, it's like almost how downtown L.A. was, like, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone, like, kind of hung out in the periphery of L.A., but nothing was really happening downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But then it took, you know, a few artists and, like, ragamuffins to kind of get it going and, like, inject the energy. And so you have stuff like Elevate mm-hmm. and the iDrum that's mm-hmm. down there. Like, I just had a performance there, like, a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing to see people actually coming downtown to, like, do something,
right.
you know. And then the Mammal Gallery.
Yep.
So rad.
I love it. I love the mural that Sarah Emerson did. It kind of like highlights the mm-hmm. Mammal Gallery. But just, I think Courtney and that Elevate team see the potential for what Elevate could do for the city. And that's everything that the program stands for. It's looking at the current infrastructure through the eyes of an artist and seeing the potential. So they try to do that from a residential perspective to show people like, hey, downtown Atlanta is a safe place to live,
mm-hmm.
raise your kids, you know, have a life. Because I think you look at downtown Atlanta, it's so industrious. People don't think that they could actually live there, but you can.
Yeah.
And then from a business perspective, like downtown Atlanta, Midtown is great. Buckhead is great. But downtown Atlanta is just as vibrant. And they have just as much to offer from a business perspective as these other parts of the city. And it's all about just changing the perception and the perspective of how people see that environment. And art is really leading the way for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Did you see Beth Rose did those neon signs?
Yes, yes.
I love
you
those.
You got to see this. And all, I mean, the signs
yeah.
are amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just, and actually, like, one of them is in my neighborhood. It's not too far from
me. Oh, really?
Me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I missed that. It's on Auburn or something? Or?
One is on Mitchell Street.
Oh, Mitchell. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's seeing. So the theme for the Elevate this year was transit, which I thought was interesting. Anyway, it was transit, people, time, people, and places. So some of the artists physically took you from place to place. If you saw Mass Transit Muse and you had the opportunity to ride the train with Seven Sages, they showed you the intersection between public art and public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Bastaki, you know, bringing a bit of Toulouse to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila Pree Bright and her 1960 Who, so taking civil rights elders and putting those wheat paste murals up in places where sit-ins actually took place or taking you back to a different time. The key theme, I think. We had a transportation panel on Saturday, and they had people from the Beltline and MARTA come in and talk about public transportation and art. And I think the city is trying to do some amazing things in terms of transportation to make us more mobile. So you have the streetcar coming in. Mm-hmm. You have there are new bike lanes that are opening up to make the city much more bikeable. You've got the Beltline. And, I mean, I don't live far from the Beltline, and it's amazing to see. I didn't know there were that many people in my neighborhood that were actually interested in, like, in walking or, you know, biking or just getting out into the city and seeing what's going on. So I think they're starting to take note. But the interesting thing is art is connecting all of it. You've got art in MARTA stations. Mm-hmm. You've got art along the Beltline. You have art on these bike trails and paths that they're building. So there's art woven into everything that the city is doing. It could be from a commerce perspective. It can be from a transportation perspective. It could be from a public housing and health perspective. But it's interesting to see how that is the one commonality that's bringing everyone together.
Two things. First of all, I would like to thank you, Zopi, for bringing the word ragamuffin into the podcast. I think that's the first ever mention of the word ragamuffin. Thank you for that. You get points for that.
Awesome.
But I did want to secondly harp on something that I think you all touched on a little bit, but I want to ask it more directly. What makes Atlanta different as an arts community from the places that you've either visited or lived beyond here?
Atlanta's inclusive. It's much more inclusive. And I think the art scene here is so young that people want, there's a general, you know, hunger to develop it, because mm-hmm. you look at cities like a New York or an LA or even Miami with Art Basel, you see how far they've come along, and they, we see the potential to do something like that here. Again, I think if it's getting over like physical boundaries of, mm-hmm. you know, neighborhoods or whatever the case may be, or just ideals, if we can all come together, there's a want to make the city a cultural destination, and there's an ability to, because it's still so young.
Yeah, there's so much potential here. I mean, there's so much just space, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as opposed to other big cities. And for me, that's like one of the things I love about Atlanta and excites me. It's like it's potential. It's like mm-hmm. a little acorn. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it still has so a really long way to go. I mean, I think one of the drawbacks here, I mean, let's face it, it's money. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of people that are creative that have capital, and there's not a lot of, you know, support for that. I think mm-hmm. that's slowly changing. Like mm-hmm. you said, the city of Atlanta has been doing a lot, it seems like, in, mm-hmm. in that regard. But, you know, I mean, I had there's like their eagerness there and mm-hmm. like the hunger, but then they're like, the money's not there, you mm-hmm. know? So I don't know. I kind of saw this very clearly. I did a Kickstarter campaign for this like web series called Babeability mm-hmm. that kind of like used a lot of talents from the city, and you know, it was on Facebook. It like I promoted the hell out of it, and everywhere I went, people were like, I love Babeability. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, cool, donate to the campaign, that would help me. And they're like, well, I'm broke. Can I volunteer somehow? I'm like, no, I don't need any volunteers. I just need your money, you know. I don't know. For me, it was just like it really made it clear. And I think that's one of the main, you know, just to not be a negative Nancy mm-hmm. or anything. But I think that's one of the issues here is you know, and then also that, and there's all these young artists, and it's a great, you know, supportive environment for mm-hmm. that, for them to experiment, like here at Wonder Root or Mint Gallery. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of infrastructure for emerging artists. But then once they make it, or once they hit a plateau here, They move to New York or L.A. or San Francisco or, like, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. So you don't have that, like, you know, people coming up and then supporting the younger art scene. And, I mean, luckily there's, like, organizations like this to do that. But, you know what I mean? It's, like, it's hard to make it sustainable like that.
I think part of that has to be education, too. We have a lot of people who like art, but I don't know if they have a true appreciation for what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to gallery openings, you go to a certain artist, you know, exhibition, but you don't purchase anything. Right. Or you don't support, you don't see support as buying this person's art. You see it's like, oh, I came out to their party, I drank their free wine, and they ate their free food.
Yeah.
You know, I came out to your opening and I supported you. Well, did you buy a piece? Are you actually a collector? And I think you have to get people educated to the point where they can not just go and see, like, oh, I went to this opening, this was great. Like, well, purchase a piece of art. Mm-hmm. Like, go through that process and understand what it means to be a collector. So I think And Floyd, doesn't Wonder Root have a program like that kind of helps people understand what it means to be a true, you know, appreciator of the arts and appreciating culture? I believe you guys do, don't you?
We have two programs that speak to that. One is the Wonder Root CSA,
right,
where our patrons, you know, purchase shares of art, and they are collectors of work of these amazing local artists. But also there's Wondership, which is another program that is more tied in with giving a platform for collectors to meet artists, mm-hmm, and really get a more in-depth perspective of their artwork and attend some private events and, mm-hmm, really get a chance to understand sort of the inner workings of the art world. But we have a couple of events, mm-hmm, and there are a couple others around the city as well. But, mm-hmm, I do feel like there is a need there.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about the word support. And I think both of you hit on two issues, is that the word support in Atlanta, to your point, sometimes means I'll show up,
mm-hmm,
or I'll volunteer.
Right.
But from the artist standpoint, sometimes the word support means donate
money.
Buy
my art, yeah.
Dollar bills, buy some art. So give some more perspective on just what that means. And maybe we need to have a larger conversation about what does it mean to support these artists.
I mean, art takes money. Like, it took this person money to buy the supplies to create whatever it is, be it clay, paint, brushes, and, mm-hmm, to put that, you know, exhibition on for you. So, yes, it's great that you showed up and you looked at it, but, you know, at the end of the day, this person still has to eat. And if you don't have a 9-to-5 and art is your 9-to-5, you're trying to make a career out of it, you can't pay AT&T or Georgia Power with someone's, like, hopes and dreams and aspirations. Like, oh, this is great. Well, like, no, I can't put that in the bank. So, I mean, art at the end of the day, it's still a business. While it's nice for us to look at and it's, you know, it's pretty, it evokes a certain emotion or a feeling and it makes you look at the world in a different way, that's great. But this is still this person's job. Like, I go to Edelman and I work and I get a paycheck so I can live. Well, this is this person's means of living. If someone just looked at my press release and thought, like, oh, this is, you know, nice words on a page but didn't pay me for it, you know, I would feel a certain type of way about that. So I can understand when an artist has maybe, you know, 200-400 people come to an opening and no one buys anything, mm-hmm, like that. That's a disappointing feeling to that person. Like, yes, I'm glad that you came out and you gave support and you tweeted about it and you put my paintings or whatever on Instagram. But, you know, I what can I do with that at the end of the day? So that I think support needs to be elevated, not just the appreciation of it, but also putting the money behind your support. Like, how much do you actually support if you're not willing to invest some dollars in it?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously. I mean, it's the same thing in the music scene, too. It's like why now, like, half the shows are free.
Mm-hmm.
You, like, people just expect a free ride. I don't know. Maybe it's Scout Mob's fault for creating the Daily Deal phenomena. But, yeah, I don't know. And I don't really know mm-hmm, what, like, the answer is besides, like, I mean, it's tough. Like, mm-hmm, people don't want to part with their money sometimes. But I don't know. I mean, I think maybe it goes back to accessibility too. Like, sometimes, you know, you're at art events or even if you're in a band or whatever, and it's all people that are in the scene, they're other artists, mm-hmm, right? So they're not making any money, mm-hmm, either. So there's got to be a way to sort of appeal to the demographic that has the funding and the taste. I don't know how else to say it
that's the correct way to say it.
And it's tough in Atlanta because it's the people with money here, it's more of an old money, you know, mm-hmm, they're into, like, the decorative arts, but they might not be into some, like, cool, like, graffiti-esque, like, painting. You know what I mean? So, but I don't know. But
yeah.
I know that there's got to be a market for it here. It's figuring out, you know, the PR to, mm-hmm, to get to those people.
And that's the process. And I try to tell the artists that I work with, it's like, yeah, I'm glad that all your friends showed up. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
But who did you reach outside of your, like, own personal network? So that's where the awareness comes into play. It's getting them the interviews. It's getting their work on, having social media plays a big part in it. Because to be honest, going out to reporters now, especially in the Atlanta market, they are so busy, mm-hmm, because they cover more than one beat. They have to keep up with social media. They're in a 24-hour news cycle now, so they have to constantly produce. So the quality of the news story, if you look at it over the past 20 years, has gone down. But if they have to produce four or five stories within a day just to keep up with this news cycle. They don't have time to sit down and, you know, do an all day session at your, you know, studio or whatever and, you know, get to really know you as an artist. They kind of have to go, go, go. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times what I'm starting to see is that social media will break a story or it will break an artist. Having a strong online presence is everything now. You have to be your own storyteller. You have mm-hmm. to, you know, be your own brand ambassador and really develop it. But I definitely think there are pockets of people that appreciate art. And I can see that, you know, at Mocha GA, when they had their gala this year, I went, tons of people there purchasing art. I mean, and this art wasn't cheap. We're talking about $10,000, $20,000 pieces that people were bidding on and driving the prices, you know, higher on. So it's connecting the artists and getting them comfortable to step outside of that zone that they're already in mm-hmm. and bridging the gap. There are plenty of people in the city that appreciate art. They appreciate the graffiti style. You know, they appreciate maybe the more, I don't know, cartoonish style of art. I mean, there's a wide, you know, breadth and array of it here in the city. It's just connecting the two worlds in a way that people feel, you know, most comfortable.
So I would like to get Glenn and Zopi, your perspective on promoting individual artists versus an art event. I think Atlanta has developed a pretty strong art event scene, mm-hmm. but as it relates to the individual artists, what's the challenge or the pros or cons, or maybe that's not how I want to really characterize it, but just what are some of the differences between promoting an artist effectively mm-hmm. or supporting an artist effectively versus promoting an event effectively?
An event. So I went to Arts, Beats, and Lyrics on Friday. And that was something that was put on by Jack Daniels. But it was, you know, art, of course. You had artists from across the city displaying, like, hip-hop-related art or just their art in general. You had DJ Quick, who was, you know, spinning. And then you've had, you know, people doing somewhat of a cipher, I guess. I don't know if that's what they wanted to call it. But it was interesting. And that event, you know, normally if you have a sponsor, that brings dollars and promotion, and it's much more far-reaching. If you're an individual artist and you don't have the backing of a company and you're doing this on your own, the level of advertising or push that you can, you know, put behind your own of your individual event or just promoting yourself is difficult. I mean, it could be non-existent. So a lot of times you have to be a little more creative and rely on, you know, grassroots, word of mouth, social media. I mean, social media is free for everyone. So, I mean, I think that's always the best, you know, stop. Like, definitely get out there, tweet about your work, put it on Instagram, and develop a strong social network. But for an event, I feel like you have variety there. Mm-hmm. So you've got four or five different artists, and there's a higher chance that I'm going to identify with someone there because of just the number of artists that are being put on display versus one person who, you know, I may identify with their work, I may not. You know, it's all subjective. So I think that's the pro of doing an event, especially for an emerging artist, because you get to be put out there in such a way where there are other people that are bringing their audiences with them, and you're all bringing your audiences together, so there could be some crossover. So if I'm going to go see, like, Eric Nine, for instance, and Brandon Sadler just happens to be there, and I'm like, oh, like, I like his work also, so now I'm a fan of him, and now I'm following him. But being an individual, if I don't like this individual artist, then I'm not going to go. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the pro of doing an event, especially for, like, an emerging artist.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the same. Like, for emerging artists, you kind of have to hop on mm-hmm. different bandwagons or, like, start align yourself mm-hmm. with, like, you know, a scene, yep. really. I mean, you got to be in some group shows. You know, I mean, once you get to a certain point, like, then you can, you know, let your ego reign supreme. But then at that, you know, it's also difficult, I think, as an individual artist to promote yourself mm-hmm. because, you know, it could be considered a little gauche, right? Like, it's tough. But, I mean, like you said, these days you just have to go with it. You have to brand yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to have a website. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm kind of dealing with all that myself right now, too, and I'm just like,
be aggressive, and I think you have to find the person that knows how to do it. As an artist, that is my major challenge with working with artists, because they want to be over the entire process. It's like, no, you go play your instrument, or you go paint, or you go make this amazing sculpture, and let someone who understands the PR aspect of how to build a brand, let them do that for you. Now, find someone who aligns with your beliefs so you guys work together very well, and who, you know, has similar business practices, but you don't have to be over the entire creative process in terms of building this brand. Definitely make sure your footprint is in there. But if this person knows how to build a brand effectively and they've shown you that they can do that, trust that they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you be the artist and let this person be the business person that's driving, you know, your brand or your presence.
So you think there should be more like artists, managers / PR people? I don't know what the scene is like there. I did that a little bit in New Orleans for this artist, Robert Tannen, was like hired to promote his work. Mm-hmm. You know, he was actually this brilliant like civil engineer / artist that taught at Pratt and, you know, hung out with like Buckminster Fuller and really had this amazing body of work and just was never recognized for it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had no idea what I was doing, honestly. But, you know, and I don't know, is that like kind of...
I think so. I think people
are... I mean, besides, because there's the galleries, right? Mm-hmm. Galleries represent the artist, but obviously...
But to get to a gallery, they have to know who you are.
Right, exactly. So to get to that place... Mm-hmm.
To even get to that point, I think you still need some type of representation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, if I like your art enough, I'll do it for free. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a job that, you know, takes care of my financial status. This, for me, is much more about spreading culture, because that should be for everyone. Mm-hmm. And if you have something that I definitely agree with and I feel like I identify with whatever movement you're trying to put on, or if you're just trying to spread love, peace, and light, whatever it is, if it's something that I identify with and I have the means to help, then I feel like that's my responsibility as someone who is living in this world and has an appreciation for art and culture, and you're an emerging artist and you need that push, then why wouldn't I do that? Mm-hmm. So I think there needs to be much more of a synergy between the business world and the arts world. And understanding, you know, what you're good at and, you know, playing your position, stay in your lane. That's all it is. It's like, find someone who knows what they're doing, bring them onto your movement, and let them do what they do. Like, I'm not going to go on there and try to paint, because mm-hmm. it's going to be a stick figure, I guarantee you. But could I talk to a reporter for you? Yes. Could I put together a dope sponsorship package? Yes. Can I, you know, help you build a brand that's going to be something that's still true to who you are, but help you reach new audiences and raise awareness? Yeah. So let me manage that part while you go be creative.
Hmm. Do you think there's a lot of people that, sorry, I'm just like starting to, are there a lot of people like you in the arts community that are kind of just like repping artists on the side, just out of the goodness of their hearts, or, you know what I mean? Like, because I feel like that could be...
I think, so there are a few friends of mine that do it, mm-hmm. because we have an appreciation for, like, my friend Tracy does music. She identifies with, you know, indie artists, and she really loves, you know, she makes connections with, you know, reporters and stuff from New York to California. And I try to do the same thing with art. So I think you have to find someone who truly loves the scene, period, mm-hmm. and they really identify with it. Yeah, there are going to be some, you know, sleazy business people out there trying to just make a buck, and mm-hmm. it's finding the right person, and those people generally can be hard to find. But it's also, I think for us, it's finding the right artist too, because if we are going to do it for free, again, you want to do it for somebody that you really genuinely believe in and you right. want to support. So do I think it exists? Yeah. Is it hard to find? Yeah, but when you do find it, it's magic, so...
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com. Zopa, you mentioned earlier the term ally, and I wanted to talk about the notion of allies beyond your particular field, because I think what Scout Mob in a way does from a scale standpoint as well as a breadth standpoint is that Scout Mob gives artists essentially scale in terms of being aligned with something or a platform where it reaches a lot of people, mm-hmm. but also there are other folks who come to Scout Mob for things besides art. So you may come to it for a deal about something else if you go to the website, but you see something that catches your eye. So there's a greater chance that you may get discovered by someone who may have not even known who you were. So I wanted to just maybe toss around some ideas around how artists can align themselves with allies that may be able to provide some scale for them beyond just the art community, where mm-hmm. there is a lot of, you know, there are a lot of people there already. What about kind of stepping beyond that and maybe partnering with some other opportunities out there?
Yeah. I mean, I guess when I mentioned allies before, I'm thinking of like, you know, and I'm so bad with artist names, to be honest with you. Jason Kofke and whoever the other guy, Chris Chambers, like, you know, like these little like cliques, mm-hmm. right? And I think, Scout Mob, we curate the restaurants that we put on there. We curate the artists that we have. And, you know, with the Scout Mob shop, it's like we really like have objects that we're selling to mm-hmm. people. But, you know, I think if artists can find like even other musicians or other artists that sort of share a similar aesthetic and vibe, you know, I don't know. I just think that that's another way to kind of brand yourselves and like mm-hmm. build your brand stronger. It's like check out this. This is like a whole little world that we're creating, you know. It's mm-hmm. like the sounds and the everything kind of like fits together a yeah. little bit and makes it more identifiable. And then, you know, once you get to, like we were saying earlier, mm-hmm. a certain level, you can maybe go past that and be on your own. But I think, yeah, just finding, you know, making the right alliances. I mean, because it's political just like everything else.
Oh, it is.
You know
it
what
totally
I mean?
Is.
It's the art world is very, very much political just like anything. So I don't know.
I think you can't underestimate just networking. I mean, I think a lot of times people don't like to apply business processes to a creative process because they feel like it may take that creativity out of it. But art is still a business. You're in this, even though you're doing something creative, you still want to make money off of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be able to make money off of this gift or talent that you have. So, you know, small things for me like networking, a 15-minute meeting with, you know, maybe someone like Annette or Chris Appleton, like sit down and tell people what you're doing. You have to be your own best advocate. You know, really research who are some of the movers and shakers in the art world. Or, I mean, if you want to make an alliance outside of art, who are some people that are really doing big things in music? Who are some small business folks here that are really into art? You know, who are reporters here that, you know, really advocate art? You know, you should definitely know who the staff is at Creative Loafing or the AJC. You know, Howard, you know, Pausner writes articles on a daily basis about what's going on in art. Does he know who you are? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think people really underestimate the need for research and networking when starting off their career. And that's how you figure out who your alliances are. I mean, nobody's going to say no to a 15-minute meeting. Well, somebody may. But, like, to be honest, it's 15 minutes. And if you're a new artist and you just want to get out there and meet someone and you want to figure out what they do and let them know what you do and figure out a way for you guys to align, I mean, that's the best way to start to build up something that can turn from, you know, a 15-minute meeting to like an organic partnership and a friendship or, you know, an alliance later on down the line.
Yep. Buddies with Chad Radford yep. getting those music reviews.
And that's what you have to do. I mean,
seriously, yeah. It helps. It really does.
I think people feel like networking can be insincere, and it's awkward when you first start off doing it because, I mean, it is. It's yeah. like if you're going in and you're meeting someone and you don't know anything about them, it's like, how do you make this conversation work? But you find a commonality. You reach out to this person. Like, you reach out to Chad because he, you know, he's the music editor. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you've got that music commonality. You know, you would reach out to, like, a Howard or a Cinque Hicks because they write about culture and art. So, you know, find that commonality. Do some research on them. Read some of their articles. You know, these people, more than anything, people just want their work to be appreciated. So if you want them to appreciate your work, then show them that you appreciate what their work and what they do, and then find that commonality to move forward with it.
Let's talk about later on down the line. You mentioned that term, so I'll stay there. Mm-hmm. As artists progress or as movements progress to a certain point, you have to either find a way to keep growing or maybe you want to redefine or reinvent what you're doing. I wanted you, Glenn, to speak mm-hmm. about One Music Fest mm-hmm. and maybe your involvement with One Music Fest and sort of give some context to the growth of that experience as something that has started to gain a lot of good momentum mm-hmm. around town.
First of all, Jay Carter is just like a mad genius. Like the dude is bad, like in the best possible way. The way he sees the Atlanta music scene, how he has, you know, traveled and seen other scenes around the world, honestly, and tried to bring the best of what he's seen to Atlanta has been something that's amazing. But honestly, the foundation of the festival is unity through music. So when you went to the festival, you saw young, old, you know, every race, every, you know, just everything was there. And he tries to bring music to the city that makes people feel good, but they also, like, you know, raise their awareness on what else is out there. You know, Quadrant was here, and people loved Quadrant. They wouldn't necessarily expect them to be there. You know, of course you had Goody Mob, and you had Erykah Badu, you had CeeLo, and, you know, all those people out there, and it was great. But, you know, on that other stage, you had indie artists. So you had Quadrant, you had Reese. He actually has something called the One Contest, where he gives local Atlanta artists here an opportunity to compete for a chance to get up there and play on the main stage. And that's his way of, you know, giving back to this indie community and giving them a platform to reach a greater audience. So, I mean, this was the fourth year for it, and each year it just gets better and better and better. And I think people identify with it because it just... it's bringing people together through just music. I mean, it's good food, it's booze, it's music, and he also has an art component to it. He has artists out there live painting, people get a chance to see it. So it's a full cultural experience. But Jay is also about education. You know, Floyd, you sat in on the panel where he talked about the state of the music industry and what people can do, the difference between indie and mainstream, how we can bridge the gap, you know, what Atlanta needs to do to continue to progress its music scene. So, you know, One Music Fest and the Soul Fusion movement in general is just about bringing people together, but also educating them on what they can do better. And that's the process. That's how you grow. You really give back to the community that helped, you know, put you on the map. So he had huge support from the indie community, huge support from the Atlanta music scene. So he always finds a way to, like, bring great acts here, you know, bring people together, but find a way to give back also.
Do either of you have questions for each other? I know we've talked a lot about some different things around Atlanta art in general, some recommendations. I always like to allow people to ask questions of each other, so I wanted to give you all some space to do that.
So, Zophie, I'd be interested to know, so you guys curate, you know, different events. How, mm-hmm. What is your process for picking out, like, the events that you curate?
It's a balance. I mean, we want to make it fun, obviously. I mean, half of it, honestly, is people approaching us. So, like, mm-hmm. the art party at Contemporary, they're just like, hey, do you guys want to promote this with, you know, mm-hmm. sell tickets to this event? Like, sure. And, like, dinners around town. I mean, they'll just get in touch with us. And I'm just like, well, I say no to maybe half of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's like, you know, I don't know. And some of it's good. It's like maybe a Humane Society event out in Kennesaw. It seems like a great, you know, cause, but I'm just like, I don't know if our users will respond to that. Mm-hmm. So it's about, you know, are we going to be able to sell tickets for it? You know, that's kind of the first question that we have to ask. And is it cool? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really it. It's pretty simple, but then, you know, we try to come up with our own events too. We'll do like screenings at the Plaza Theater. Mm-hmm. And the Halloween party, you know, events at Paris on Ponce. And I mean, I think with anything, with whatever we're doing, I mean, our goal is to delight people, right? You know, just give somebody an experience that is unique and, you know, also incorporates the talents and cool local spots in the city. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much it. There's not like a set formula. It's basically, is this going to make us some money? And is it cool?
So another question, you're an artist yourself, but you're also on that business side. So you as an artist, what advice would you give, you know, being able to see the inner workings of how a business operates and how you go about selecting and curating these events? What advice would you give an artist if they want to, you know, approach Scout Mob? What's the best way to do that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, if an artist, like, wants to sell their stuff on shop, or if an artist just wants to, like, do an event with
us. If they want to do an event, you know, whatever they're approaching you with. I think I ask that question because I find a lot of times artists may not necessarily understand the best way to approach a business because, like you said, for instance, it's about what's going to make us money.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, I'm a great artist and I have this wonderful idea. Like, you should just instantly bite on that.
Right.
But there's a process behind it. So how do you help artists understand that process?
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, it would go back to the collaboration. I don't think, like, an individual artist, like, doing a show, I'd be able to do much for except maybe get them listed in the events, like, what to do for the weekend. But if it's, you know, if they've kind of, like, put some thought into the event and they're working with some other people, like musicians and other artists, and it seems like a viable, you know, moneymaker. I'm sorry. It's really not about that. I mean, whatever. I put stuff on there all the time that is not, doesn't make us anything. But yeah, I mean, just send me an email. Give me your pitch, you know? What do you have going on?
Okay.
So, I don't know.
I want to get both of you all's perspective on Atlanta sprawl as it relates to the arts and culture community, because you talked about being able to sell something in Kennesaw, you know, and I think a lot of people tend to get either focused on inside the perimeter or on the suburbs. As we try to advance the conversation on art and culture, how would you approach tackling the Atlanta sprawl as it relates to that, given what you do at Scout Mob and Glenn, what you do for a lot of the Atlanta arts community in general? Like, let's talk about how do we get the rest of the Atlanta metro area involved.
Come on over, Marietta. It's tough, you know. I mean, honestly, a lot of times we were approached by tons of things going on OTP. And while we do, like, our restaurant deals OTP, it's just like, I don't know, it's tough. Although the Hot Air Balloon Festival at Kennesaw State University actually sold really well. I, like, put it on reluctantly, and I was like, damn,
that's
like,
amazing.
People love this stuff. I think it's, like, the hot air balloons. But I don't know. I mean, there are things going on out there. I mean, I grew up in Dunwoody. I'm a suburban girl, you know. But I don't know. It's not.
I think there's a perception of, like, so you – not to knock Kennesaw, because I have friends that live out there, and it's a dope place to be. But when you hear, like, when I hear arts in Kennesaw, I think of, like, crafts. Yeah, like I'm going to go get some God's Eye or, like, some really cool dream catcher or something. Like, oh, this is cute. But, you know, I think a lot of it is just changing the perception of it. And there are dope artists that live in Kennesaw. There are dope artists that live in Riverdale and College Park. But it's just the perception of, like, OTP and ITP. I can be a bit snob. And I used to be OTP, but I am such a brat now. Like, I'm very snobby. Yeah. Like, oh, this is outside of 285? Eh, no, thank you. So I think part of it is changing perception, and you have to go out there and promote in those areas too. You know, even our news is very hyper-local. You know, you have examiners and patches that only focus on certain neighborhoods. So if you as an artist want to reach out to a community, you have to go find the patch reporter for Kennesaw or Marietta or, you know, Cab County or wherever you're coming from. Like, you have to go find that person. I mean, and even, you know, I've approached the AJC about this. There are great stories about artists, but, you know, if they're not ITP, it's kind of hard to give them the ink on the page, because are people inside the perimeter actually going to drive all the way to Lawrenceville to see a show? So it's actually going out there and selectively pitching yourself to those publications to kind of drive awareness. And the event has to be big. Like, people from outside of the perimeter would gladly drive inside of the perimeter for a great event, but it has to be something really big. People drove in for One Music Fest. People came, you know, OTP for some of the events that were going on for Elevate. There are OTP people that come for whatever Mocha has going on. But it has to be big enough to bring someone. I don't think I could get an individual artist, like, their first show. I'm not going to bring people from outside of the perimeter. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So was it often always about bringing folks from out to in versus looking from in to out? Because so much of our population in this metro area lives outside of the perimeter. Mm-hmm. So if that's where a lot of people actually live, what do we have to do? What should we do? Those of us who live inside the perimeter
or inside the
city.
I mean, what should we do? Go out there. Tucker is like, I love Tucker and I love downtown Marietta. I've had to go out there, but again, it's been mostly restaurant focused. I haven't actually gone out to see, I know there's, like, some club in Sandy Springs, some music venue that's supposed to be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, there are not really a lot of, like, galleries. Mm-hmm. And there's some community centers, I think, up there where they'll have art shows. But I don't know. I mean, I've actually talked to Scout Mob about doing some events up there. Mm-hmm. I really have. I swear. but you know, they've always just been like, eh. You know, it's tough. It's like, okay. I mean, even if you are just targeting that audience, it's again, it's so like spread out and even more alienating mm-hmm. than it is in the city, you know? So it's hard to like really get the word. I mean, what are you going to do? Go to the mailboxes and like put the flyers in? Like,
gosh.
I mean, there's a lot of challenges there, you know, and it's a lot, you know, it's a different vibe.
To be honest, I think you have to look at the flow of the city too. Atlanta's changing. A lot of people are that used to be OTP. It goes through waves. You are starting to see more people move back into the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got all this construction going on. You've got Ponce City Market. You've got all these apartment complexes that are being built, all these condos, new homes. So, and I feel like there are more people, and maybe this is just my perception, but I feel like there are more people that work in the city than work outside the city.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to hear about it just by being here, you know, during the week. And I think if you're working in the city and you're having to drive up here 5 days a week, it's much easier to get someone who is used to doing the drive to the city to come back up here for an event than it is to get someone who never leaves outside of 285 to go outside for an event. So I'm not saying that great things aren't happening OTP, but I think you just have to look at the way the city is progressing. And it's much more of a focus on the city itself. There are so many families that are moving back in. It's going to be, I'm sorry, people, OTP. It's going to be hard. Like, it really is. I don't know what the answer is. It's just, I feel for you.
There's Serenby. They're doing some things over there. It's very pretty.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap up, or getting close to wrapping up, we have to write a love letter to all the OTP folks.
We're so sorry. We love you guys. My parents are OTP. I love you guys, but it's rough.
As we talked about social media earlier and how a lot of the responsibility is shifting more towards artists themselves individually to sort of manage that side of their story, I wanted to get some good suggestions from you all for the artists who are listening to this about things that they should really be doing as they manage their own side of their PR, mm-hmm. as they are kind of going about their ongoing process, their day-to-day process, before you get to someone who can maybe take you to the next step from a mm-hmm. PR perspective. What are some of those things that artists should really be thinking about doing as they're managing their own process?
Branding, branding, branding.
Yes, and engage. Be engaging. Like, I can't tell you how many artists I meet that feel like they're the next Basquiat, and they maybe painted, you know, one or two pictures, and it's like, you are good, but you aren't to a point where you can just go sit in the corner and just dress in all black and be that mysterious hooded figure. Like, engage people. Let people know who you are. This world is so much more global, and we connect on so many different ways that you can't afford to just be passive in the building of your own brand. So talk to people on Twitter, you know, just talk, just be engaging. And that's the first step. If people like who you are as a person, mm-hmm. they will tend to like who you are as an artist. So send a tweet, put a Facebook post up, comment on stuff, you know, and follow people that are outside of your scene. If you're a younger emerging artist, find a more established artist that you may want to connect with. You know, start developing relationships outside of your own network and your own scene, because that person has the ability. They've been where you are. So not only could they be a mentor, but they have the opportunity to help, you know, you establish connections with people that you may not meet otherwise. And social media is the easiest way to do that. You know, follow somebody. They may not follow you back. I tweet at people all the time that don't say anything to me. It takes time to build up those relationships because they don't know who I am. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm tweeting someone from, like, Seattle, Washington, because I saw an article that he wrote, and I think he's a dope freelancer. It took maybe 6 months of us going back and forth for us to establish something, and now I pitch him, and my, you know, pitches go to the top of his pile, and I've been able to get different artist placements in his magazine because of the fact that I established that relationship. Realize that it takes work, and it's not going to happen overnight, but you have to be in it for the long haul.
Yeah, I agree. You got to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. Lack of charisma can be fatal.
Oh, man. I've seen it clear out of room. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to go out as much as possible, mm-hmm. as much as, like, my 9-to-5 allows, and just, yeah, hang mm-hmm. out, talk to people, like, mm-hmm. be friendly, engaging, you know, collaborate with mm-hmm. people, you know, that have made it, that are talented, probably way more talented than you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And then, I don't know. I think branding, I mean, everyone has to brand themselves these days, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, not, like, come up with a logo, but, like, get a nicely designed site made,
right.
you know? Like, figure out what your aesthetic is and, like, stick with that.
It's an investment in yourself. Like, I can't stress that enough because I think you meet someone and you want that takeaway to be like, well, visit my website. You know, yeah, follow me on Twitter or whatever. That's great. But like, come check out my website. Come see, you know, what I've created or mm-hmm. read my words or, you know, whatever the case may be. But develop a presence online
yeah.
and develop something that's credible. Like, I don't knock GoDaddy. I think they're a great site. My website is through GoDaddy. Great. But like, develop something that's unique to who you are. Because that everything that you do, I think you have to recognize that kind of builds up in what your brand is. So you don't want anything to ever be disjointed. You don't want to have 3 followers on Twitter, but you've got a huge Instagram following. Like, transition some of that and balance. And make sure that everything that you do, the footprint that you leave, is all building up to something greater. I mean, brand alignment is huge. You have to make sure that there's a certain order to it. And I think that sometimes can be a bit of a problem. You may pay more attention to one thing than you do to something else, but there has to be a balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I think sharing your inspiration. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. I started this, like, rap duo with my friend Chanel, and I'm actually horrible at social media, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I'll say that right here. I work for a tech company, and, like, I don't post on Facebook very regularly. But I've had to get into it, mm-hmm. you know? Like, you know, every other day, like, just posting something that's inspiring and kind of, like, builds on whatever, you know, little weird universe that we're trying to create, mm-hmm. you know, as artists. So I think that helps a lot, like, kind of making yourself a little bit more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
It engages people. You know, people are like, oh, wow, yeah, I'm like, really into that scene from that Kung Fu movie, too, mm-hmm. and whatever, you know, like, whatever it is, or, like, that song or anything, you mm-hmm. know, it's like, oh, it's like giving people an idea of where you're going. If, you know, I mean, obviously the work should speak for itself, but mm-hmm. I think it's cool for people to see like how you're getting there.
They want to know that you're a real person behind like the social media. Like,
yeah,
share a funny story or share something you did that made you look kind of silly. You know,
yeah.
the more human aspects that you can put into something that's very technological, you mm-hmm. know, helps develop those relationships. So
vulnerability.
Yeah.
It's just like being in a regular relationship.
Yeah.
But don't be too weak.
It has to be authentic. Like, it can't be sensitive dude with guitar crying in a window. Like, don't. That's too much.
No, ma'am.
Pull it back. So.
Well, Glenn Murph and Zopi Christensen, I thank you both for your time. This has been a great talk and look forward to doing it again.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee, with locations on the West Side, Grant Park, the Pocket Bar in the Bank of America Plaza, and even the newest outpost in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com.